中学工作等，那给学习这边从南京找到工作，从这种说上级小同学就想那想就把，那给学习这边从南京找到工作，从这种说上级小同学就想那想就把。那给学习这个从南京找到工作，上级主
You may have heard of this particular genre of prayer that is called calling the guru from afar. It's important to know what exactly does calling the guru from afar mean.
You know, what is that? Huh?
Calling from afar has nothing to do with geographical location nor geographical location or proximity nor time.
어떻습니 저저 가르쳐나 랑샘 랑샘당 아 라면 랑샘딩이 양을 모셔야 돼 봐시
So calling from afar has, you know, calling from afar has nothing to do with geographical proximity nor time, but afar has to do with the space or the distance, no? Literally, metaphorically speaking, the distance or the space between your own mind and the guru's mind.
Yeah.
So calling the guru from afar is an attempt, an exercise to shorten, you know, the gap, you know, the space, the gap, you know, between one's mind and the guru's mind. Yeah. One can look at this from the ultimate perspective or conventional perspective. From an ultimate perspective, there's no real difference between one's mind and the guru's mind in that both have the nature of emptiness. So, but from a conventional perspective, in terms of appearance, you know, so there is a wide gap, a huge gap between one's mind and the guru's mind in terms of qualities. Yeah. So from the perspective of appearances or from the conventional perspective, there is a wide gap, yeah, between one's mind and the guru's mind in terms of the qualities. And in that sense, the guru is superior to us in terms of qualities. Yeah. So calling the guru from afar is to shorten the gap, you know. And how's that? Not working. Went blank.
Guru disappear. What I'm saying does not. 어떻게 다 도다이니 다 윤대 장로 보여서 다 솔집 체인 말해 다 가르쳐나 라마라 다 지지배 마바다 아니 대바 윤대 대놈 여봐 시시 아니 랑라 대도 윤대 매봐 동아 나츠니 바 세체 아니 직다 닝기 띵다 담아다 소디브체 라고 띠레
so essentially you know when we call the guru from afar is one is making a heartfelt supplication you know based you know on a thorough understanding of how we do not have the qualities and we are tormented in samsara and having that single pointed faith and trust in that the guru has the power to rescue to protect us from those fears and suffering and it's within that state of faith and devotion that one makes a supplication
yeah otoshine tandai da lamala tsejibe tebakwe da tanda nyaka dela tugu yore tsejibe tebaji yobaina ani ji korsore da tsejibe tebaji rangi jule jebaina da lamada nyawa seide tanda tiimare da lamada nyawa se tsejibe tebaji dukada lamada yangri muchagi yomare lamada nyawa chayashi da tanda tiimare
So when one has a single-pointed devotion to one's own guru, then you know, then one is never far from the guru. One is not far from the guru. Yeah, one becomes nearer.
어떻게 다 대바 매바이나 다 제시베 대바 매바이나 다 남아든 장르 무차대시 어떤다 뒤래.
So yeah, if one does not have the single-pointed devotion. And then one is far, you know, from the guru.
That tie some of that, then the chief with tabaji yun dukala, ani tebelo, tebelodi, ani that on that in shinigan on the chotjua, that on the nanki jewe shing in sedi, that on the tabati body. Rava, that chicken jewe shing at dinner around the tabaji yun dinner, chick the dagendo chagdoa, the dagendo chas, that chi, that one's a nang de lamadi, tabaji dagendo chagio. 다 다겐 뒤쳐 볼 때는 랑게 줄아 다 대바지 게임도 가나 원에 싶다 남기 제비 신이 다 원에 지 제게 엄마디 다 대바지 샤트야시 다 돈다들
when we have this single pointed devotion this single pointed devotion or this faith yeah is the real teacher the actual guru yeah this is the inner guru the actual guru this actual guru this inner guru arises independence on the outer condition, which is the outer guru, the guru that appears, that we see, that appears to us. Yeah. So the outer guru is the external condition, the empowering condition. Yeah. Independence on which, you know, then we, independence on which, if we can develop, you know, have this single-pointed faith, you know, when that faith arises, that single-pointed faith is the actual guru, the real teacher. Yeah.
어때래 최선 어딘데시 나도 나 신인 때마 세대 나 딘데 신사를 조조 나 남기 신인지 고야 계신 분 자기요래 나 남기 신인지요나 아니 지금 나 보기 커서래 나 산재 고방아 녀와 아니 두당 두쪽이 미소봐 세대 나 내가 이제 통해 못 와 또 산재 고방아 녀와 아니 산재 탐지 특제벌이 좋아서 아니 두쪽 속에 미소봐 세대 조조 팀벌 내가 이거 제 집에 대바지란 게 줄에 깨나
So this is, I think, this is the essential point. Yeah, you know, the when this inner guru arises, this single-pointed faith and devotion arises. You know, it is due to this that you know we become near, we get closer to enlightenment. It's due to this that you know that we please. All the conquerors is due to this that we will not come under the sway or influence of negative friends.
Oh, then the thing, Chaza, that the Zhou Zhou Tere, that Nangi Shingi Ji Jie Ma Tu Na Tere, Nangi Shingi that then Te Ba Tu Shi, that this one, Nangi Shingi Ji Me Na, Ani Kapu Shi Ta In Ba Le, Ani Wa Chi Shingi Ji Gu Ani Ji Da, Wen Wen Zhe Dong La Jiu Tu Di Bi Ji Mi Si Ba Tu Shi Le. 제산 다 디나네 초도 주하디 남기 제위 신인 거야 어디 다 딘데지 여바이나 남기 제위 신인지 중바이나 깨바이나 다 라마다 타니 보자시 그럼 산제 고방아 타니 보자야 세대 내가 들었다
so when if we have this inner guru this single pointed devotion in the guru when this single-pointed devotion faith arises, this is the inner guru. So if we don't have this, just having an external guru, the external conditioning guru, it doesn't mean just because you have an external guru that you'll be liberated or you get closer to enlightenment. It's impossible to be safe or to be protected and just by having the external guru, if one doesn't have the single-pointed devotion. But when one has single-pointed devotion, then one becomes closer to the guru, one becomes closer to enlightenment.
Yeah.
So I think this is the point behind calling the guru from afar. Why do we need to call the guru from afar? Because as of now, there's a big gap between one's mind and the guru's mind. So calling the guru from afar is an intense, heartfelt supplication made out of single-pointed devotion. Yeah. And the whole point of calling the guru from afar is to make our mind closer to the guru and closer to enlightenment. Yeah. And the thing that reduces the gap, that makes us closer, yeah, and to enlightenment, and makes us closer to the guru, is this intense, heartfelt devotion.
So
when this inner guru, which is a single-pointed devotion, yeah, when this inner guru arises, then we become suitable, it's possible then, and to actualize all the realizations of the path, all the qualities of the path, starting from the topic of the human life of freedom and endowments, then death and impermanence, and so on and so forth. All those qualities and realizations of the path arises from the inner guru, which is faith, yeah, faith and devotion, yeah.
So people might think, why need to call the guru from the path? He's just in front of you,
So we finished with the section on making offerings. So if you understand, the benefits of making offerings, yeah. So you know, when we just, you know, we have to bring the merit field of the Buddhas to mind, and then even if we just offer a single flower, the benefits are innumerable, isn't it? Yeah. So it is said that even if we just offer a single flower, we accumulate a lot of merit, and then at the end, by depending on the root of virtue accumulated from offering just that one flower, it will be a cause for our own enlightenment. Yeah. So by having a decisive ascertainment or understanding of the benefits of making offerings, and both actual and those offerings that are actually set out and those that are mentally transformed, which, yeah, which will strive in this, yeah. So next is paying a homage. So in general, paying homage, you know, can be done with one's body, speech, and mind. So in the text, first, one pays homage with one's speech, yeah, by expressing verses of praise. Yeah. I eulogize the oceans of excellent qualities with oceans of branches of melodious praise. May these clouds of pleasant eulogy certainly arise always to them everywhere. So one eulogizes the qualities of the Buddhas. Yeah. So here, there are many verses that praise the Buddhas, yeah, praising their qualities and so forth. Yeah. So one recites this, yeah, and then it's like paying eulogy, paying homage with one's speech by reciting these verses.
Yeah.
So then when you're reciting the respective verses in praise of the Buddhas and so forth, one can imagine, you know, that your verses, and the praises that you're reciting, you know, the melody and the sound of those the praises that you're reciting, you fill, you know, the whole of space, and you offer that.
Yeah.
Uh, So sometimes the verses are recited with in tunes, yeah, with nice melody and so forth. For those who have a reasonably good voice, so then you know those so then praising the Buddha, you know, with all these melodious tunes and so forth, then can become an offering.
So good to have good voice. Otoxine, Tinemata, Luki Chap, Anni, that Luki Chapmet, Tinema, that Luki Chap, or Tinema Luki Chap sends it to some dish, that on the job some of the chaps went to some dishes, Sanjay Kuchu. Children shook his soft shell, lashing the Kunji Taniki, little man, dark chassel.
The next is paying homage of one's body. With bodies as numerous as all the atoms within the field, I bow with my body to all Buddhas of the three times, the Dharma and the Supreme Community. So one pays homage, no one prostrates to all the Buddhas of the past, the present, and the future. One prostrates to the scriptural and realizational Dharma in the mental continuum, and one also prostrates to the children of the Congress, the Bodhisattvas, yeah. And one prostrates, you know, with as many bodies as there are, equaling the number of atoms, you know, in all the Buddha fields.
O ta ta tire ta tenam ki ta ngi ta tenam ki yen den chen che ta 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 tire ta o tin dare ta pe na tenam ki yen den chen che ani nga ki to ba che ani chi lu ma ku be tu ye ani tire ani sem na ta ba che o te sum chung ba na ta ta da lo nga yesu ki cha sin du sin ni ta yong tu ye o tin ni ba le
So when one is paying homage, no? So when you're reciting the verses in praise of the Buddhas, to remembering their qualities, then physically you adopt a respectful demeanor, and then mentally, you know, you have faith and devotion. Then, and so if these three are present, then that would make a complete practice of paying homage with one's body, speech, and mind. So paying homage with one's mind is the most important. Yeah, the most important. Then that means having a faith and devotion. Yeah, and through this faith and devotion that comes from recollecting the qualities of the Buddhas or the Three Jewels, for example. And then on basis of that, you know, then if you engage in praising, and then with your speech, and then prostrating to them physically, that would this faith and devotion that you have will make your paying homage with your body and speech perfect.
Yeah.
This is something that we must bear in mind, and we, you know, really to keep this, you know, to note this down. Yeah. Of the three, you know, paying homage with your body, speech, and mind, paying homage with the mind is the most important, and that is having a faith and devotion that comes through that comes from remembering, you know, thinking and remembering the qualities, you know, of the Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So on that basis, then you should then engage in praising them with your speech and then prostrating to them physically. Yeah. So this is the most, so having this faith and devotion in the Three Jewels, you know, is the most important. So that is the mental homage. Yeah. So if one doesn't have this, then, you know, it's difficult for there to be any real great benefit, you know, just by prostrating physically or expressing or just merely reciting, you know, some verses or praise. It's difficult for these practices alone to have a significant impact on the mind, in that you don't feel it. There isn't any transformation of the mind. Yeah.
What in the world? God, the tabaji, you know, and the Lunga de Kalashira Mayas. That taba meba, you know, that Lunga Chad and Tang Chesh, Kalakash, and the Zen, Kuluzed of Shadwash, Rashim Yamoto.
So, when one has, you have this faith and devotion in the Three Jewels, you know, and then paying homage to them physically and verbally becomes easy. Otherwise, without this faith from the heart, and then, you know, sometimes, you know, just prostrating physically, or expressing, or just merely reciting some verses of praise, you know, becomes like a chore, you know.
What chore? Just the kind. What do you mean? What did you say? That time, ma, I need to. Can't. What in the Marsha, the Nama, that Changju, Semji Shinam, that Chudana, that Chasal, that in Asia Nishita, Changju, that in the Tsigani, that Changju, Semji, she, that Shinam, and Chudana, Chasal, Sestuda.
Next, I pay homage to the basis of the mind of enlightenment and to all support of offerings. So I pay homage to the basis of the mind and of the enlightenment, such as the representations of the Buddhas, like statues, or to the Mahayana scriptural collections, or to the object from whom you're going to adopt bodhicitta and so forth, and also to all supports of offerings, basically to all the representations of the Buddha's body, speech and mind. Then to all abbots and masters, and to all holders of supreme conduct. So essentially, one prostrates to the abbot who grants you the Pratimoksha ordination, and the preceptors who grant the vows, and also to those who are abiding and striving on the path to liberation. So they are also objects of prostration. So those who abide in conduct, supreme conduct, are those who help you, you know, to abandon the negative actions and behavior, and cause you to abide and enter and abide on the path to liberation. Yeah. So the one prostrates to them as well. So as for the physical prostration, there are two types here. There's a prostration whereby the five points of the body has to touch the ground, right? So the five points of the body are your two palms, your two knees, and your forehead. Yeah, and then so that is the prostration. There's the five points, and the other one is the full length prostration.
Yalanga sala rega yana changze tsaya di sungu yore a tuksine ta ani chiu ta tonda tikalwa ta tonda tire ta sanje ki kusung tuki chilam o ta tine rangyu la tabar shoos rangda samje tamje yu la tsu sanje ki kusung tuki chilam ma liba tabar shoos o tine samu tangche o ta cha tsaya o tine mendo.
So one touches one's both hands on to your crown, then to your throat, and to your heart, and then before you go down. Yeah. So whether you're doing the prostration that has five points of your body touching the ground, or whether you're doing the full length prostration. Okay. So that is how it's done. Yeah. So and when one starts a prostration by joining the hands at the crown, then one can pray that through this, and may one receives the blessings of all the qualities of the Buddha's body, and may one achieve all the qualities of the Buddha's body. So it is explained in the teachings that there are innumerable benefits from making prostrations. Even just making one prostration has innumerable benefits. So, for example, it is said that, you know, when you prostrate physically, so your body covers a certain area, a physical space, yeah? When you're down, when you're prostrate on the ground, isn't it? So the number of atoms covering that space, going all the way down to the very core of the planet, you know. So there are so many number of atoms, isn't it, that is covered, yeah. So it is explained in the teachings that one creates, you know, the causes, you know, to be born as a wheel turning or universal monarch, you know, equal in number to the atoms that are covered, you know, by that your body, yeah. And of course, at the end, you know, finally, the roots of virtue will become a cause for one to achieve full enlightenment. Yeah. So, by bearing in mind these benefits, then one should strive in making prostrations. Even if it's just making 3 prostrations a day. Yeah. So, you know, whenever we learn the Dharma, you know, when we study, you know, we hear all these different advices, you know, we should try to, you know, adopt them and put it into practice, yeah. As those that are within our reach, yeah. Those that actually is doable, yeah. And then actually implement it. Then that would actually fulfill the whole purpose behind learning the Dharma, yeah.
What in the shot that in a month,
What is refuge? It is a mind that, for one, fears the suffering of cyclic existence and the lower realms, and it is a conviction in the Buddha Dharma Sanghas. Power and ability to rescue or protect us from those suffering. That is what refuge is, yeah.
What is it? That is the one 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 that is
So there's a difference in the way of going for refuge, you know, for a person of small capacity, a person of middling capacity, and a person of great capacity. The difference comes in due to their perspective. You have to understand that the presentation of refuge in according to the Hinayana would differ from that of the Mahayana. So of the four Buddhist tenets, two are Hinayana tenets. You have the Great Exposition School and the Sutra School. So their presentation or their assertion as to what Buddha Dhamma Sangha is very different from the Mahayana. So if you remember, both the Vaibhashikas or the Great Exposition School and the Sutra School said that the Buddha became a Buddha in one sitting, starting from the path of preparation, and in one sitting, he traversed the path of seeing, path of meditation, and he achieved the path of normal learning. So the body in which he achieved enlightenment in is the body of an ordinary being, and is therefore a contaminated body. So as such, for the Great Exposition, proponents of the Great Exposition and Sutra School, for them, these Hinayana proponents of Hinayana tenets, for them, the Buddha's physical body is not Buddha because it is true suffering. So the proponents of the Sutra, the Great Exposition and Sutra School, posit that the path of normal learning, the true path, the realization in the continuum of Shakyamuni Buddha is the Buddha Jewel. These proponents do not assert the Sangha Jewel to be the person, the being, the being, the superior being, but rather they assert, the qualities of realization, the true path in their continuums, and that to be the Sangha Jewel.
That
And these proponents assert that the factor of abandonment of the objects of abandonment in the continuum of Buddha and the superiors to be the Dharma Jewel. That is the three jewels for you, according to the proponents of the Hinayana tenets. The proponents of the Mahayana tenets have a very different presentation of what the three jewels are. Yeah. First, in the Mahayana, there's the presentation of the assertion of the four bodies. Yeah. Of the four bodies, anyway, you have the form body, Buddhist form body. So Buddha's form body is Buddha jewel.
What in the sumha? What in the shot? Tinamata, Tijukita, Kope, the Matalangi Tambati, and in Chukunjo, or Toxin Shakiare, and Pope Consultant and Jindukunjo Shai.
Yeah, okay. Now, so the four bodies are Buddha, yeah. So, and the form body of Buddha is. Can be posited as Buddha jewel, then the true path and true cessation in the continuum of the Buddhas posited as the Dharma jewel, and then all superiors posited as the Sangha jewel. The body in the continuum of a superior bodhisattva is Sangha jewel or not?
What do you think? Huh? Still we don't know what is three jewel. Huh? Still learning.
Then there's the presentation of a causal refuge and a resultant refuge as well. So, causal refuge is the mind that holds on, that the beliefs or the conviction in the Buddha Dharma Sangha that exists in the continuum of somebody other than oneself as having the ability to protect you from those fears. So that is causal refuge. Resultant refuge is having a understanding and a faith and a conviction in the Buddha Dharma and Sangha that once will actualize in one's continuum in the future as having the potential, the power to protect us oneself from the fears. That is the result of refuge. So the verse that we usually recite, you know, I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha. So that can indicate a causal refuge. And then the last two lines, and by the virtue I curate by practicing generosity and so forth, may achieve enlightenment. for sentient beings. Yeah. So that can indicate the resultant refuge. So the unsurpassed teacher is the Buddha, the unsurpassed refuge is the Dharma, and the unsurpassed guide is the Sangha. So the Buddha is the unsurpassable teacher, the one who shows us refuge. So what does it mean to go for refuge to the Buddha? It is a pledge never to stray or to adopt a path that is not shown by Buddha. Basically, it's a pledge, it's a pledge, a promise, a pledge to practice and to train exactly in accordance with what the Buddha has taught you. So the Buddha is like, the Buddha is the one who shows the way, shows a refuge, shows the path. Yeah. The path itself is the Dharma. So when we take refuge in the Dharma, you're making a pledge. I will practice this path. The thing that we're going to enter and the thing that we're going to practice is the Dharma. And the Dharma is that which is shown by the Buddha. So taking refuge in the Dharma means you're making a pledge. Now, I will practice this Dharma exactly in accordance with how the Buddha has shown or how the Buddha has revealed. So, and through practicing the Dharma, so whatever qualities of the Dharma that arise in the mind, that is the refuge, that is the
that is the refuge, the protection, the unsurpassed refuge, the unsurpassed protection. So if you take, for example, abiding in some kind of vows for one day. So when one adopts such a kind of vow and one abides in it, you know, so when you have that quality of the vow in your mind, so that is what protects us, you know. And so that it can be an example of the unsurpassed protection or refuge.
Then you have the superiors, the superior beings. They are our companions, the one who help us to enter and actualize the path. So the superior beings are Sangha. And going for refuge to the Sangha means, you know, making a pledge, you know, thinking, I will practice in the way that they have done and in the way that they are doing, you know. So that's that. Yeah, it's a pledge.
Oh, Tindersha, that on the intendez, that on the job so dread, that on the job so do, Senata, and his singing that Tamja Shai, Bendo, and his sister, Sanjay, the job them of Sunche, and it Sanjay lump them and Nashin, and it tell us Jukins, Rang Sing Tamja Chair, and it take them be chirty, and in Yamne Chair, Tamja Chair, and in Yamne Chain Dogala, Yamne Chapa, Tamja Watcher, and it's a public in doing it, and it. 가서 밥이 진정기 아니지 남들 치다 와시 난장 대라 죽인시 담제시 어떻습니까? 담제 약보 있습니다 나 담제 체리 다 오늘 다 겸로 체고 봐도 되는
So essentially, that's what refuge is. Refuge is a heartfelt promise. It's a pledge. It's a promise. Yeah. So in relation to going for refuge to Buddha, it is a pledge. You know, kind of holding on to Buddha. As the unsurpassed teacher, and making a pledge, you know, to practice in the way that he has taught, and in the way that he has revealed, and then going for refuge to the Dharma is making a pledge to practice that Dharma, that he has revealed, and going for refuge to the Sangha is that making that heartfelt the promise, the pledge to practice in the way that the Sangha, the superior beings, have done or are doing. Yeah. Yeah, in exactly like them, taking them as an example. Yeah.
Oh, dinner shop, chaza, taco, jambrosh, that on that, that jambro, that catuina, that go jambro yapushuna, lam shen tamse, anisita, beta go yanshi sunguyore, that jambro nala, than yam chazan, dudegi, sunguyore, chazanta, go jambro chim, and beta bushella, and person chigo at the insert.
So refuge is very important at the beginning for. It leads to all the other qualities and realizations. Yeah. And actually, all the practices can be condensed into the practice of going for refuge to the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 남게 칸니 공칸니 제니 대회 라고 주르스 따르고 또는 접수도나 아니 바이 쇼지가 되시다 대수무여래
So in the sutra the stainless space or sky it is said that if the merit of going for refuge were to take or were to materialize it would even the whole of space would not be enough to accommodate it yeah.
Oh, 어떻게 다때 소한테 다던다테 전주님부 지기바 산전남 산전남나 접수 초도 전주 선반 초랑티 접수 시스다다 접수나 접수 좋아 어디 숨겨래.
So until the essence of enlightenment, I go for refuge to the Buddhas. Likewise, I go for refuge to the Dharma and to the assembly of Bodhisattvas.
어떻게 다때가나 접수 좋아 어디 소리다.
So on the basis of going for refuge, then there is the branch of confession. So the teachings tell us that we should strive not to be stained by the faults or negativities in the first place. But despite striving to avoid negativities and faults, because due to having very afflictions and familiarity with the afflictions, so even if negativities and are accumulated, one should not just leave it as it is, but rather one should strive to confess and purify them. So, in the practice of confession, we are supposed to apply the four opponent powers. So, the four are the power of eradication, which in a non-literal translation would be the power of regret. Then you have the power of applying the antidote, and the power of restraint, and the power of basis, I think. Yeah.
Support.
Yeah. I think Lam Rim Chenmo says power of the support, yeah. The translation, yeah.
Then you have
So the power of eradication essentially refers to having regret for committed negativities. Yeah.
어떻게 조조들이다 미저 쳐봐도 조바 잘했다 돈다 들려 조바 잘했다 보겠다 미저 즉 쳐봐 이나야 이 넘버 미비디오 미더 숨스다 넘버 아니 남미디오 아니 가르사 지등이죠 아니 답을죠 어떻게다 넘버 미바 숨 용서라 삼체 아니 지다 랑기 미저 쳐봐들라 다 주별로시다 돈다 넘버 순집에 돕스나 되세.
So the power of eradication means having regret for having committed the non-virtue in the past. Yeah. And in order to develop regret, we have to reflect on the three effects. Yeah, of every single non-virtue. Yeah. So every non-virtue has
will have three effects when it ripens. Yeah. So there is the, what are the three? So there are the fruitional effect, the concordant effect, and the environmental effect. The concordant effect itself is divided into two. You have the causally concordant effect and the behavioral concordant effect. So then you have the next, then the next power is the power of applying the antidote. Yeah. So according to Shantideva's text called the Compendium of Trainings, there are six antidotes listed. Yeah. So relying on the profound sutras, meditating on emptiness, relying on recitations, relying on the Buddha's relying on the holy form, then relying on making offerings, and relying on the names. So the power of restraint is essentially making a pledge, a promise to not engage in the non-virtue again in the future. Then you have the power of the support, which refers to going for refuge, to the three jewels, and developing bodhicitta. So when we accumulate negativities due to overwhelming afflictions, we shouldn't just leave it as it is, but we have to engage in, we have to confess and engage in the practice of purification. And it is said that there isn't any negative karma, no matter how heavy, that cannot be purified through confession. I think many people have this idea, you know, they believe that, you have to actually act it out, the non-virtue, physically or verbally, the action has to manifest out, in physically or verbal, in the physical or verbal way, and for it to be considered to be an accumulation of negativity or non-virtue. Yeah. That is not true. Yeah. While these are negative, of course, when you do that, you accumulate negative non-virtue. But just the having strong negative thoughts itself lends to accumulating negative karma. Yeah. So, like, especially having strong ill will and so forth, the thought of wanting to harm. You know, you remember when we were looking at the stages of the path, you know. So, if we really feel like killing somebody, and we entertain the thought, and we keep it in our minds, it is strong, and we keep it in our minds, you know, entertaining that thought. You know? That itself, you know, just the mental act itself, it constitutes the accumulating the karma of killing. So if you remember, there are four permutations between karma accumulated and karma created, yeah, isn't it? So in the case of have, you know, entertaining, you know, harboring the thought to kill, and harboring it for a long time, constitutes a karma of killing that is accumulated but not created, yeah. Of course, there are also actions that are karma that are created but not accumulated, and so forth, right? So, you know, when we talk about karma that is accumulated, essentially it involves, you know, strong intention mentally, you know. There's a mental force behind it, you know. And with regards to entertaining the thought of killing, all you need to do is to hold on to the thought, and you really want to do it, and you hold it in your mind, then, you know, you accumulate the karma of killing, although not created. Although the action has not manifested in you actually, you know, carrying out the act physically, but once you have that thought, a strong thought, and it is there for a while, then you accumulate the karma of killing. Yeah. And essentially, the karma is, when we say this, such a karma is accumulated, essentially we are saying a bad imprint is planted on the mind. Essentially, that's what it is, isn't it? A bad imprint is planted on the mind.
Oh, do you know? I need to think that if I just talk to you, shall I? That I need. I'm sure that number may be too young. I see. Oh, think about it. Go talk to you. Go do I remember? My shall I? Not that take a leg. Talk to you. Go. I need to shall I? My shall I? Time remember? I need to. I'm sure that number may be too young. I see. What talk to you?
So, when you have such thoughts of killing, you know, and then you accumulate the negative karma of killing, yeah, although it's not created yet, and that places a very powerful, strong negative imprint on the mind, and it is only a matter of time, it will ripen, it will definitely ripen, unless it is purified through confession, yeah.
Oh, toxinhe, that tinema, that anisita, that dipa shana, taju yares, dipa sha kugres, mashana, anisuko, rashing him ever chatu yamare, or rashing him ever chana dako, rangshin dukana, dipa the rashing him ever chana, the shakumarva. Rowing a teacher, I remember it, the rangshiba inaya, the rang sim teething the pachet, mutiny trash. Deep leggy passes the mutiny to girl, and passes the dinner, much about the means, number me between young girls. Chazan, that debate, shakukres, or toxinita, nimbutere.
So the teachings tell us that if we accumulate negativities and then non virtue, we have to purify, which we We need to purify it through compassion. We cannot just leave it as it is, you know, because it will not go away on its own. Well, it is a completely different matter if, you know, when we die, you know, then somehow, you know, these the imprint of non-virtue, you know, just disappear on their own accord. But since they will not disappear on their own accord, rather they will just follow the mind and wherever the mind goes. So there will come a time where it will ripen and we will experience the various effects, you know, of that ripening. So the next verse is calling the attention of those whom you are going to confess your negativities. With folded hands, I request the complete Buddhas and Bodhisattvas who possess great compassion and reside in all 10 directions. Since beginningless cyclic existence in this life and in others, unknowingly, unknowingly I committed negativities and caused them to be done. Overwhelmed by mistakes of ignorance, I rejoice in what was committed. But now seeing these mistakes from my heart, I confess them to the Savior's soul. So one brings to mind, you know, all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, right, and by thinking of them as abiding in front of us, and then in their presence, and then we confess, you know, all the negativities that we have accumulated. Confess by first, you know, generating regret. So generates regret, no? For all the non-virtue committed, not only in this life, but one is confessing all the non-virtue that one has accumulated and created since beginning this lifetime. And one confesses all the non-virtue performed by oneself or the non-virtue that one has caused others to accumulate. And one also confesses the non-virtue that one has accumulated through rejoicing in the non-virtue of others. And one confesses all the negativities, such negativities, and just non-virtue, which had arisen from basically ignorance. Yeah.
독신이 다 갈스나 다 랑기 딕바 잡아디 아니식 다 딕면도 섬세다 돈다니 다 대다게 둔도 아니식 다 원의식에 강쳐버지 딕면도 섬세다 돈다니 심리 띵네 닝 탁바네 아니식 다 독신이 다 딕면도 심다 도샤체 이 말에 로 도와지 어디 말
Yeah, so in the presence of the Buddhist and Bodhisattvas, no one is basically acknowledging from, it's a heartfelt acknowledgement, taking responsibility, a heartfelt acknowledgement from the heart, you know, saying that oh, all the things, all these, all the stuff that I've done, this is really unacceptable. This is really like, really, this is not right, you know. Yeah.
어떡시네. 다가 나시 아니 다지 군조 숨도 아니 밤. 밤 라마 신다라스. 니 몽고네. 농아다 이기. 너기 강락바 세시도.
Next, whatever harmful acts of body, speech, and mind I've done by means of afflictions towards the three jewels, my parents, my spiritual masters, and others.
어떻게 다 냐바치무 쉬 싹싹이 다 돈다 유 두수하래 다 돈다 윤대기 윤대기 신 다 돈다 이 아니지 갈세나 윤대기 신 잡을지 아니 산지 최 진대는 숨신 다 진대 진다가 되네 디바사야 사대바 진조다 아니 다가나시 아니 팬도비 신 잡을지 아니 파마 어떤데 이 말에 아니 지 가려라 아니 그래 아 다가나시 아니 지 다 가서래 다 윤댕기 다 돈다이 들 아 윤댕이구나 아니 지 라마 윤댕 라바다 아니 지 틴댕이구나 아니 시다게 아니 지 다 가진 지 뭐 인데 맞다 라마라 소바 소톡시 그러다 랑기 아니 니몽 몇군에 랑데 아니 제 롱아 예수 몇군에 디과 사대와 어떤 소 아니 아니 지 도시아치 어디래
Here one is confessing all the negativities and that one has accumulated due to the afflictions in relation to those objects who are endowed with qualities like the Buddha, the Dharma, and Sangha, in relation to those who have very who has helped us, our parents, father and mother, and to though unto our own gurus, who are very kind to us.
Yeah. 도자 샤당 디모스 뭐 딘데기 님은 왜 끝내 랑데 아니 다 랑기 다 변하다 르당 변하 르기 아니 지다 구샤 마셔바다 아니 지다 동아라 속어딘데 아 딘데 샤바다 아니 나게 꾸르아테베 아니 지다 메바치에 그와 딘데 인구요 이게 아니 지다 납슨 가르소르다 너슨 로달라 소바게 어딘도 남 아니 지다 아니 미티 바섬체 아니 지
So one confesses all the the negativities and accumulated with, due to ignorance, anger, and attachment, the three poisons in relation to these special objects. Yeah, then one has accumulated with one's body, such as being disrespectful, through causing them, through hurting, harming them. Or through criticizing, you know, belittling them, or through in getting, developing wrong views, you know.
어 독신에 드네 마 드네 가래나 다 강도다. 어 독신에 다 드네 마 녀바 드메 견차베 다 독신 다 기득바 강 신두 미세 기바데 담제 담바 남나 샤오세시도.
All the terrible negativities done by me, a wrongdoer, who have created faults of a multitude of misdeeds, I admit to the guides.
What do you need to know, Marisha? That dinema, and she calls her. What do you need that dinema, Karina? That is your Dani Tiba Machanga. Mundo Kumbachu, Chitter Dilan Yetawa, News you kept the souls.
I may die before my negativities have been purified. Please protect me in such a way as will swiftly and surely free me from them. So here one goes for refuge, seeking protection seeking protection so that one can purify oneself of all the negativities, before death. So that was thinking about having to purify one's negativities, to understanding how death is certain. Yeah. So next, I guess, is thinking about having to purify the negativities, while understanding that the time of death is uncertain. Yeah. The untrustworthy Lord of Death, without waiting, whether or not something has been done, whether one is sick or otherwise, suddenly comes to not be complacent about life. So this verse is saying that we have to purify our negativities quickly, because there's no telling as to when death will happen. Well, there's no saying that death will happen, before one has finished one's work, or after one has finished one's work. There's no saying telling that death will only happen when you are sick,
and will not happen when you're not sick and so forth.
It's not certain that one will die at this particular place. It's not certain that one will die at a particular time. And it's not certain will die. It's not certain that one will die because of medical condition or something. Since there's no certainty. So since the time of one's death is uncertain, then one has to purify the negativities. So by reflecting on verses 32 and 33, may bring into mind how the death is certain and the time of death is uncertain, and then one should, you know, we should persuade ourselves to strive in purifying our negativities.
So the
point here is, you know, generating regret, yeah. By bringing to mind, you know, how, if for whatever reason, if we're gonna suddenly gonna die, you know, now, then there's all these negativities left over due to not having purified them, yeah. So by thinking of the certainty of death and the uncertainty of the time of death, then one develops this sense of urgency, having to start, you know, purification now, yeah. Then the next verse, I guess, you could relate it to the point, you know, about the point on how, at the time of death, you know, nothing is of any benefit except Dharma.
Okay.
I guess we stop here for the night. But if you have a question, you may ask. Yeah.
Ken Rinpoche, I'm still very confused about what is an Arya Bodhisattva. So I'm asking this question. Okay, it seems that we are taking refuge in the Mahayana tenets. Arya Superior is considered as a Sangha Jewel. However, the body of that superior seems to be through suffering, because it its causes, due to its causes. Secondly, in the mental continuum of an Arya Superior, they're still projecting karma that can propel them back to samsara.
You make sure what you're asking. What's your question?
Okay, how can we take refuge in an Arya Superior as the Sangha Jewel when the body is through suffering, and in the mental continuum of such a person, they are still projecting karma that can propel them back into samsara?
So you think the Bodhisattva body is Bodhisattva, you mean? You're saying that?
Arya Superior, it's one who has realized emptiness,
then,
in the path of seeing.
Concept. So I have Bodhisattva is object of refuge, you're asking that?
Yeah.
Of course then.
Then but the body, right?
The body is not the Aya Bodhisattva, yeah.
The person is constituted of body and mind, right? So
yeah, the body is not the person.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Ken Rinpoche, there was 2.32 tonight. It says, I may die before my negativity has been purified. Please protect me in such a way as will swiftly and surely free me from them. This verse, is it just an expression of asking, pleading for help? Rather than, you know, the last one saying that as will swiftly and surely free me from them. It's just an expression rather than being able to be helped in such a by the three jewels in such a manner. Yeah, it's just an expression of, if you want, desperation or expressing fear.
If we don't purify our negativities, then we will be born in the lower realms and experience all the sufferings there. So out of fear and not wanting to for that to happen, then one is making a plea, you know, requesting the three jewels to protect us from that. Yeah. So it's basically confessing, you know, acknowledging, you know, having regret for having done all those non-virtues, expressing it in the form of a request.
So as will swiftly and surely free me from them, it's just expression. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Ken Rinpoche, sorry, I asked you this before class, but I'm still slightly confused. In lesson 7, you talked about the ultimate Dharma jewel being true paths and true cessations, and the ultimate Sangha jewel also being true path and true cessation. So I want to just clarify, the ultimate Dharma jewel is the true path and true cessations in the mind of a superior being. And would it be correct to say that the ultimate Sangha jewel can be described as a superior being who has the true path and true cessation in his mental continuum? Can we state it like that? I mean, basically you're talking about the same thing, but you are focusing, the focus is slightly different between a Dharma jewel and a Sangha jewel. I just wanted to clarify that, please.
된다며 주 근조 세당 된다며 긴들 근조 세대 집안다 된다. 샤단지라 또 샤도 앞에 전하러 왔다. 된다며 긴들 근조 세당 된다며 주 근조 세대 집안에도 왔다. 샤야 꼬빠다 남기 때 마셔야지.
Essentially, we posit them to be the same. Yeah. I mean that what is ultimate Dharma Jewel and what is ultimate Sangha Jewel, it is the true path and true cessation.
Just the true path, true cessation, which is actually a mental accomplishment in the mind of the being. Would it be right to say that then? Yeah, so we are focusing on the true path and true cessation, which is a mental attainment, yeah, in the mind of that of the superior being.
That goes without saying.
Okay.
Definitely. Yeah.
Okay. Because the reason I'm a bit confused with this is because when we were doing this topic the first time round, and I could have noted this incorrectly. The entity of the refuge jewel, a Dharma refuge jewel, the entity or the nature of the Dharma refuge jewel was said to be an accomplishment of the mind, whereas the entity of the Sangha refuge jewel is said to be a being, like a person, you know? A being, yeah? So that's why I'm slightly confused. And I don't know whether that is incorrect.
That is fine if you do not look at the Dharma jewel and Sangha jewel in terms of ultimate and conventional. So in general, if you say what is the Dharma jewel, it's true path, true cessation. What is the Sangha jewel, the superior. That is fine, yeah.
Yeah. 진득군죠 전담배 아니 군접이 진득군죠 수도 다시 진대 한 샤담이라 어디에 용어도 왔다.
But if you were to look at the Sangha jewel in detail, looking at what is the ultimate Sangha jewel and what is the conventional Sangha jewel, then you have to be able to posit them, right?
어 진대 시간에 가지고 나나야 진대 땅 따다 세무도 따다 뒤 샤디 따 줄라미 대가 나와 두 샤도 와.
I just forgot the first part, but the second part is this. In one text, I don't remember, but the ultimate Sangha jewel is posited to be the superior, and the conventional Sangha jewel is posited as a community of four fully ordained monks or at least for fully ordained monks, yeah. So that's one way.
Okay, we stop here.
Okay, so finish off with the usual prayer.